Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. I'm Doug McBurney, as I said, and I'm with him.
Hey, Doug.
Good to be here to close the week out with you.
Welcome to the studio. We've got a lot of news to cover today.
Tons of stuff.
We have, we got to give an update. Jim from Denver.
Absolutely.
Who was upset about Katrina.
Yes.
Hurricane Katrina.
Yes. And we have some very compelling thoughts from a member of the brightest audience in the nation.
The brightest audience in the nation.
This proves that you have the brightest audience.
A guy named Tom, who listens to Bob Enyart Live, sent an email about the hurricane.
About Katrina in particular.
And whether it was a judgment.
Right.
Or a storm.
Yeah.
I realize a storm could be a judgment.
It certainly can be, and we're going to learn about that in Tom's email.
And then...
So, Jim, turn on your tape recorder.
And then we also have Focus on the Family, Dr. Dobson, very upset about the evil coming out of Congress, and there's a lot of evil.
There's utter evil.
Utter evil.
Of Congress, according to Jim, according to Dr. Dobson.
Yeah, and that hasn't really changed in...
Well, let's go back.
A long time.
My entire life, I think.
Long time. So utter evil coming out of, okay, we'll get to that.
Utter evil abounding, so to speak.
And, you know, it could be that Obama might nominate a homosexual to the Supreme Court.
No.
Yeah, and now would you say that would be utter evil?
That would be utter evil, right? Yeah, that would
be
utter evil.
Focus on the Family. As you recall, the Washington Post had an official blogger who talked to Focus on the Family about that very question.
Yeah.
And Focus on the Family said, this is just last week, said we would not oppose a homosexual for the Supreme Court.
Wait a minute. Focus on the Family spokesman said that?
Focus on the Family. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay,
so
that,
utter evil.
That doesn't compute with the utter evil. I thought he did a show on the utter evil that was coming out of Washington.
Coming out of Colorado Springs.
Coming out of somewhere.
It's just coming out.
That doesn't compute.
It's coming out all over the place.
Maybe this is a rogue spokesman for Focus on the Family.
You mean when the Washington Post called Focus on the Family, they accidentally dialed Queer Nation?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like it.
And some guy said, hi, my name is Bruce.
Can I help you? I'm a spokesman for Focus.
Yeah, and we think that homosexuals, a homosexual would be fine.
It just doesn't compute.
I mean, we want a good judge, and if someone... How could you be a good judge if you have no judgment and your lifestyle is one of perversion?
Well, you have to separate one's personal life from one's professional life.
Right.
Although, try and go on a job interview with that attitude.
Yeah, right.
Try that.
Okay, so anyway, in the poll, big Gallup poll.
Oh, yeah, now this is big news.
Big news.
Yeah. Let me see, I've got it here.
Pro-lifers, if you take a poll, and God didn't take many polls.
Not a whole lot.
God didn't say, okay, let's vote. What do you guys think about adultery?
Yeah.
Right? As soon as the Southern Baptists started voting on things like homosexuality and abortion, you knew it'd be over for the Southern Baptists soon enough.
You knew they were on the decline.
I mean, did God put an amendment process in on a stone, tablets of stone?
No, I think that's why he carved them in stone.
So they vote on these every 4 years?
He didn't carve them into sandstone.
So as soon as...
granite.
As soon as a Christian organization decides we're going to vote, now they voted, and thankfully they said abortion is bad.
That's right. That's what they said this year.
Yeah.
And last year.
And homosexuality is bad.
We're not
allowed to vote. But as soon as you vote,
eventually
the vote is going to come out wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's audacious to say that we think that we should vote on God's law.
Yeah. God's enduring moral commands are not to be voted on.
Because eventually they will vote that killing your unborn child is your right.
Yeah.
It's like a sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually.
Yeah.
So anyway, but. It turns out that the Gallup poll shows some progress made by pro-lifers.
The pro-life movement seems to have made progress just in the past year.
In the past year, in fact, there was a gap, and the pro-aborts were leading. This Gallup poll is taken every year for years.
Every year. And last year, 50% reported they were pro-choice, and 44% reported they were pro-life.
That was a six-point spread.
Six-point spread just one
and
year
in
ago.
In 1 year, that has been a pro-choice advantage for many, many years.
Yeah, they've got the chart
going back
here, the graph.
Many years.
Now, they only started doing this in 1995.
Yeah.
Okay, and back then it was 56% pro-choice, 33% pro-life.
Right, and so last year, 6% spread, pro-aborts over pro-lifers. Mm-hmm. In 1 year, it's flipped, and the spread has increased.
Yeah, 51-42, pro-life in the lead.
That's astounding.
51-42, yeah.
And what has happened in the last year?
Utter wickedness has taken over all apparatus of the government.
That's
totally
true.
Totally wicked, pro-choice, pro-child-killing people have taken over.
That's true.
The Democrat majority, filibuster-proof.
Right.
For all intents and purposes.
And the personhood movement was launched in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Personhood USA, Keith Mason, Cal Zastro,
yep,
spreading the personhood message all over the country. American Right to Life, Brian Rohrbaugh, speaking in so many public venues, teaching people about the God-given right to life. The personhood movement that was birthed anew in Denver, Colorado in 2008 is now spread to about a dozen states that have introduced or are working to introduce pro-life personhood initiatives.
Right. And so for the first time in my adult life, the pro-life movement is speaking clearly with a very clear message that delineates our position from their position.
And there's now a 9-point spread in favor of the pro-lifers.
And they said, some in the pro-life movement said that by standing up for personhood, we were being too extreme and our timing wasn't right.
Right.
And that we were going to help the enemy to build a popular opinion against our position.
Right.
Well, I don't think they were right.
We've
only been doing this for the better part of 2 years. Yeah. We've had people on the phone, television, radio, print, the clear message of personhood.
So it's encouraging, and of course, they're still killing kids, thousands of kids every day, but it's encouraging. Okay, so Katrina first.
Let's start with Katrina, because Jim's only got a limited amount of tape.
Right.
Now, this is from Bob, this is from Tom, down in Maybank, Texas.
All right.
And it's a letter to you, Bob.
All right.
And Tom says, Bob, God gets blamed for everything. If a bus driver crashes a bus with children from a Christian church, the pastor preaches, we don't know why God did this, but his ways are higher than our ways.
Yeah, well, they always say that.
They always
do. If a busload of a youth group on a trip, they get killed, they say, why did God do this?
Well, his ways are higher than our way.
Yeah, and how about if a child gets kidnapped and raped and buried alive, as happens?
Yeah.
And do they have the gall to say... Then they usually don't have the gall to apply that bad theology and say, why did God do this?
No, they won't want to go.
Because
quite
the more
far.
Vulgar and despicable and vile it gets, the more in the closet this theology goes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? God's ways are higher than our ways.
They are.
But they're not lower than our ways.
Good point.
God doesn't orchestrate porn videos and the back rooms of homosexual bars and children being raped. God doesn't do that. So Tom is saying God gets blamed for everything.
Yeah.
A church bus, people get killed, and go ahead.
And later, Tom says, we learn that the driver was on drugs.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
And so it wasn't really God, it was the bus driver.
So usually when God wants to wipe out a busload of Christian kids, he needs the driver to be on drugs.
Right.
Usually.
Right.
What's with that?
I don't get it.
Why can't it just be a meteorite?
Yeah, why can't lightning literally come down and strike?
Yeah, or open up the earth and suck the bus down into hell.
Yeah, well, God's done similar things if you read the scriptures.
Yeah, but okay, go
and
ahead.
It's usually pretty clear who's responsible in those cases.
Right.
Well, now Tom says if there's a tornado in Kansas, people say, I wonder what sin these people committed. When our troops were approaching the capital of Iraq, there was a sandstorm. People wondered, maybe God's against our war effort. And Tom says, is there anything unusual about a sandstorm in the Middle East? No.
Or a tornado in a breadbasket
in
the Midwest?
No, tornadoes in Kansas? I mean,
it's
I read The Wizard of Oz.
Tornado Alley.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So Tom says, people think Katrina had to have been caused by God, and he chose New Orleans because the people there are so wicked. But let's
let's give him that.
Well, I'll agree with him.
They
on
do
that.
Have a good point. I mean, New Orleans on and off is the murder capital of of the nation.
Yeah, and
it's either New Orleans or Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a or bad
Detroit.
Town. It's a bad, wicked, ugly town.
Yeah,
and portions of it smell like the third world.
Yeah,
it's really gross. Let's see. Tom says hurricanes are quite common in the southern coast of the U.S. I'm 73 years old, and I've seen hurricanes yearly in Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and many engineers had warned that the dike in New Orleans could only withstand a certain hurricane force.
What dike? Who's she? What dike?
No. I don't believe he was referring to Governor Blanca. I believe he's talking about the levees.
Oh, the levees. Oh, that. Okay.
Tom's 73, so he still uses the word dike as it. You know.
I thought Hillary brought all the dikes to D.C., and that's why we had all the flooding in the Midwest. Remember
by
that?
The way, we want to remind folks that one of the reasons Bob Enyart is on the air is to undam the dikes. Right? You witnessed a homicide.
To undam
the dikes.
That is such. Thank you, Doug.
Because you. We witnessed the homosexual. Bob has a great video. Don't you have a video that you offer for sale?
One.
What's it called?
Oh, Terry's Call.
Terry's Call. Well, this is a very compelling video.
Yeah,
a homosexual
called in angry. And
Bob didn't tell him that the Lord loves and accepts you.
No, I told him he was a pervert.
And anyway, get the video, folks, because it's not all about just condemnation and making fun of people.
No,
it's a witness. It's a ministry to try to reach
these people. It's about people getting saved because, you know, you have the most vile, despicable, vulgar behavior, and Christians go out of their way to say how wonderful and how equal rights and, a homosexual on the Supreme Court, that there's nothing wrong with that. And the Christians think that that's going to get them respect or that's going to spread the gospel. It turns them into buffoons, that they don't even have the courage of their own conviction. They're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And you know, it's interesting that since the Christian right took the position that homosexuals are equal and they're good and they're nice and they should have equal rights, the homosexual movement has mushroomed. They're everywhere now. You can't
everywhere,
get away
from it. And Christianity is being shoved in the closet.
Right.
You better
right.
believe that. And we pointed out for 18 years on the air, homosexuality and Christianity are mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
One or the other will be in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have open, publicly practiced Christianity with open, publicly practiced homosexuality.
No.
One or the other is going underground or going in the closet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when Focus on the Family came out campaigning 1992,
yeah.
equal rights for homosexuals, that was their campaign slogan to pass Amendment 2.
Yep.
Equal rights for homosexuals.
Not special rights, equal rights.
Equal rights. Yeah. That was pretty much the end of Christian leaders willing to take a stand to protect our kids and our families.
Yeah, against
that was it. That was it.
And I find it interesting that just over the past year or so, Christians in the pro-life movement have stood up with a clear message against the pro child killing community.
That it is murder.
That it's murder.
Murder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a person, and you have the God-given right to life of the unborn, and now look what's happening.
And Lord willing, we'll be on the ascendancy.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to save some portion of whatever's... All right. Now, back to...
Tom.
Back to Tom.
And Katrina.
He says, Tom says, we have to be thankful that the mayor of New Orleans stayed God's hand by sheltering thousands of those wicked people in the sports arena. God just couldn't get to those particular wicked people in that arena.
Mm.
And by the way, Bourbon Street, Tom tells us, the most wicked part of town, the one that I said smells like the third world,
yeah,
that was spared. It had like a quarter inch of water in it. Yeah. Now, let's see.
That's the French Quarter.
The French Quarter, yeah.
The French Quarter should have been wiped out just for its namesake.
Yeah, and that should have been like lightning or a bolt of fire.
If there's any justice.
Yeah. If there was, I mean, if God was really looking to judge.
Yeah.
Could have made a pretty clear case right there. Now Tom's going to take us into the scriptures, and we probably need to give the warning.
Warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob in Your Life that you would like to censor anyone who dare quote a Bible verse in public. This warning gives you fair notice, raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered.
And Tom tells us God sent the prophet Nahum to warn Nineveh against of their wickedness. And Nahum told Nineveh, your name will be perpetuated no longer, for you are vile. That's Nahum 1:14.
This is Nineveh.
A
major city like Paris.
Yeah, it'd be like a major European capital of today, right? Nahum said, the gates of the river are opened and the palace is dissolved. I will dig your grave. Now, when Nahum told the rulers of Nineveh this, They probably laughed and mocked him. Ha! A river's going to take down our walls? They're 50 feet thick. God's going to dig our grave? It has to be a pretty big grave there, Nahum.
Yeah.
Well, what happened?
What
Tom
happened?
Tells us.
What did happen?
The river flooded and took down the walls. Invaders came in and plundered the city, and God covered the city with sand.
That's true.
Yeah. And Tom tells us other
cities.
Buried. It was buried. Mm-hmm. Other cities like Palmyra, Persepolis, and Thebes had left ruins to mark their sites and attest of their greatness, but Nineveh left not a single vestige.
Even nobody knew Nineveh was there
until
it was wiped out.
Literally, Nineveh was not rediscovered until the 1800s. Alexander the Great marched his army over Nineveh and didn't even know it was there.
He didn't know he was marching over the capital of
one of
the greatest empires of the ancient world.
Uh-huh.
And that was in what, 300 B.C. or
300 B.C. So yeah. Quite a bit.
So Nineveh was God's judgment against Nineveh,
boy,
it was wiped out.
Well, Tom says, now that's a sandstorm.
That's a sandstorm.
Now, would a sports arena have saved the people of Nineveh?
No.
I don't think so.
It would have been under 300 feet of sand.
That's
under.
Right. So Tom tells us, if God had brought a hurricane to New Orleans because he was angry, New Orleans would now be in North Dakota. There would be collateral damage in Oklahoma, Kansas, and surrounding states, and Canada would have a new sports arena. All right, Tom.
Good point, Tom.
Man, you
all
do
right.
Have a bright audience,
so,
I tell you.
But that was very well written and
very
entertaining,
good,
interesting, and it's true. It's, you know, we take somebody has liver spots, and people say, well, what kind of sin is in his life?
Yeah.
What kind of sin? Somebody has an ingrown toenail, and they think it's a judgment from God. I mean, now Augustine thought that. He had a toothache. And he couldn't figure out, he was superstitious, you know, St. Augustine. He couldn't figure out what he had done that God had given him this toothache.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, look, Augie, too many sweets, okay? Yeah. Not enough dental hygiene.
Well, at that time in Europe, you know, oral hygiene was not, I mean, it was even worse than it is today in Europe.
Yeah, well, that's true.
It's not good. All right, now, I want to get back to James Dobson briefly.
Yeah.
Because James Dobson, he did it on his radio show. He said, this is a quote from his radio show. I just want to get your take on this.
I heard part of Focus on the Family show yesterday.
Right, right. He says, I want our listeners, I want to tell our listeners something that's come up that's so shocking and so outrageous, we must make our friends out there aware of it. And Bob, he's talking about this Senate Bill 909, House Bill 1913.
This is the hate crimes.
This is the hate crimes bill that creates penalties against perpetrators whose victims are chosen based on actual or perceived sexual orientation, gender identity, things like that.
Right.
And I just can't help but think that had James Dobson and the other Christians held the line back in the early 90s...
20 years ago, almost.
...that this type of bill wouldn't even be considered.
It wouldn't be considered. You know,
it
is not Boulder's Queer Collective that has brought us to where we are today.
Boulder's Queer Collective?
Haven't you heard of them?
I am not familiar.
No. Yeah, but they're up there.
They're in Boulder?
There's a pile of them.
Okay. So, let's move on now.
Wait. Yeah, you're right. It's not the homosexuals that have brought us to where we are today.
That's right.
It is the Christians who have been accomplices. For 3,500 years, homosexuality was not considered just a sin.
No.
It was a crime. In the Judeo-Christian legal heritage, it was criminal. Like having sex with kids is criminal.
Because
adultery,
it's so destructive.
Seducing your neighbor's wife. It's not just a sin, it's criminal. Pornography is not just a sin, it's criminal. To pay a woman to have sex with a guy and videotape it and sell DVDs.
It's a crime.
It's criminal.
Mm-hmm.
But Focus on the Family for decades now has said, well, there's free speech right to pornography.
Yeah.
So how are the godless governing officials going to draw the line when our Christian leaders refuse to draw the line where God draws the line?
Yeah, someone needs to teach our godless political leaders which way to go.
Yeah, and if the Christian leaders say, well, let's regulate pornography.
Yeah.
Let's legalize adultery. Let's legalize fornication. Let's legalize homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give equal rights to homosexuals. Let's regulate the killing of unborn children. There are no standards. The only standard is who could compromise to try to win a Republican victory.
Yeah.
That's the only standard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's not a standard.
No, there's no standard.
And so, of course, we have Congress doing things like
this. And now, the story, now this is from it's 10 days ago, 10 days ago. To quote the spokesperson, this alleged spokesperson, this is going to have to be proven to me, by the way.
No, this is Bruce Hoskonek. I know Bruce Hoskonek.
Okay, so this is legit, this story. Well, I guess it's been out for 10 days. If it was false, Focus would have.
Yeah, it's true. Bruce Hoskonek was in court with us when Focus on the Family is, you know, the sort of the prosecuting witness against American Right to Life members.
Mm-hmm.
For the protest. You could read all about it at AmericanRightToLife.org, the Dobson Pledge protest.
So Bruce
was in the courtroom during during all these motions hearings.
He says, quote, "The issue," referring to a Supreme Court nominee, "is not their sexual orientation, it's whether or not they are a good judge."
Yeah, what if they like, okay, so if it's a man and it's a homosexual, Focus on the Family, this is their public policy group speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of their judicial analysts.
Okay.
They didn't call and just happen to get the night watchman.
Okay.
They got one of their judicial analysts. This is a question of who's qualified to sit for life on the Supreme Court of the United States.
Right.
And the public policy division at Focus on the Family says, we think a homosexual could be perfectly qualified.
Yeah.
As long as he's a good judge. How could you be a good judge and admit to a perverse lifestyle?
And when you have no judgment about your personal deviant lifestyle.
Right.
Well, according to the article, Bob, Hoskonek also said their orientation of said judge should never come up. It's not even pertinent to the equation.
It's not even pertinent. You know, like I'm saying, the two are mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
You're not qualified to be Miss America if your personal opinion is that it should be a man and a woman who get married.
Right.
You're not qualified to be Miss America.
Apparently.
If you think a marriage should be for a man and a woman as your personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's because homosexuals have a standard that they adhere to.
Yes, they do.
In the godless, they have a standard that they adhere to, anything but God.
Mm-hmm.
That's their standard. Christians have no standard. So a Christian says, you could be a homosexual and be qualified for the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land. Of course you could. God says the standards for a judge has to be someone who knows right from wrong.
That's right. And so a homosexual judge, by definition, should disqualify himself. By the way, according to the article, gay activists had expected that Focus on the Family would oppose an openly gay nominee. That's what the deviants are shocked. They don't know what they're like. Wait a minute. Who is that? Folks,
That's because the FINO syndrome. The FINO syndrome.
I'm not familiar with
Focus in name only.
Oh.
Focus in name only. They remember the old Focus that thought that homosexuality was criminal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that we need to do whatever we can to stop the homosexual agenda and the decriminalizing of homosexuality. So Focus on the Family ran the campaign practically. I mean, they supported it aggressively. Colorado's Amendment 2, which passed.
Amendment 2, which, if I'm not mistaken, that was when I first moved to Colorado.
Yeah.
One of the first things I bought was a Yes on 2 t-shirt.
Yes on
2. I wasn't even a Christian.
No.
No. But I still knew.
Because of Amendment 2, the homosexuals nationwide called a boycott of the state of Colorado.
That's correct.
Because it passed.
Yeah.
And our economy soared over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
We had the number one economy in the country. Our ski resorts, everything was just blazing with business.
Yeah, it didn't.
Because the whole country thought, hey, Colorado is an H-free zone.
We can go there and bring our kids.
You go to Florida and you get gay day. You get a whole week, homosexual week at Disney World.
Can't go to San Francisco. You can't go to Los Angeles.
Yeah, forget
Miami.
Forget Key West.
Yeah, forget all that.
Forget Provincetown on the Cape Cod.
Yeah. So they're checking off their list and they're like, hey, Colorado, we can bring the kids. We could ski. We could hike.
Go to Keystone, go to Vail.
See all the rock, the dinosaur tracks and all that. And you know that you're not going to be,
We go to Denver Bible Church, studio audience at Bob and Yurt Live. So anyway, it became a leader in the nation for economic activity, growth. And that was in the midst of the boycott by the homosexuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish we could go back to those heady days back then. That was good stuff.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it was Focus on the Family that took the Christian community and said equal rights for homosexuals. And you know what, Doug? Millions of homosexuals have died tortured deaths because God warned us, just like he warned us against sex with animals. Don't have sex with animals. And people do, and they spread disease, you know, syphilis from sheep and gonorrhea from dogs.
And who knows what else?
And
from monkeys,
HIV
and pigs,
from monkeys and on and on and on. And so, but the homosexuals, even in our zoning, they want to legalize sex with animals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let me get back to Mr. Hoskonek, because I want to get your take on a couple more quotes from him. He says, "Our concern at the Supreme Court is judicial philosophy. Sexual orientation only becomes an issue if it affects their judging." If it affects their judging. If someone says, "I don't care what the law says on the next case involving sexual orientation, I'm going to decide the case in favor of the openly gay party."
Focus on the family. Originally, they were against homosexuality.
Right. Now, that must be quite a while back.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Then they were against homosexuals adopting children.
Right.
That was a long time ago. Against homosexual marriage.
Right. That's
now eventually it keeps narrowing.
Yeah.
Eventually they'll be against homosexual dental care. That's it.
We're going to draw the line somewhere.
And then a homosexual dental floss.
Oh, no, yeah.
And they'll want equal rights for all dental floss. But if we have a homosexual on the Supreme Court, how do you think he would vote on whether or not homosexuals should be able to adopt kids?
My guess is that he would vote that they should be able to. That's just my guess.
How do you think he would vote on whether homosexuals should be able to be married?
Yes, he would want that, yes.
How about on homosexual pornography?
He'd be all for
that. How about homosexual escort services?
Well, now we've got to hold out the possibility that his judicial philosophy wouldn't be clouded.
How about
or...
homosexual
Wait a minute
wrestling coaches for 7th grade and 8th grade boys?
But, Bob, you're
You think he'd be for or against that?
You can't discount the strength of their judicial philosophy. You know, you're discounting the possibility that philosophy might override
deviance. Discounting the possibility that there is any wisdom left in Colorado Springs. You want to talk about wickedness coming out of a city? And how about whether or not the homosexuals should be allowed to be scoutmasters in the Boy Scouts? How do you think a homosexual, Dr. Dobson, Bruce Hoskonek, how do you think a homosexual Supreme Court justice would rule on whether or not the Boy Scouts should be forced to accept homosexual scoutmasters? How do you think he'd rule, Dr. Dobson? Mm. You guys don't have any objection to homosexuals on the Supreme Court? You have abandoned the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
You are a sellout.
Mm. That's kind of harsh.
You know, Doug, increasingly, there should be outrage by wolves in sheep's clothing. That's what's happening here.
Yeah.
It's getting, I mean, we've been predicting this for how many years?
Well, ever since I started listening.
How many years? But as we see it unfolding, as Christians are being shoved in the closet and homosexuality is ruling in our culture, in our government, in our courts, and among the Republican Party especially, because the Republican Party invited homosexuals to the White House first before the Democrats did.
Yeah.
And it was Focus on the Family that advocated equal rights for homosexuals. So should they be coaches of our boys' sporting teams?
But, Bob, is it too late for these so-called Christian conservative leaders to be brought back? Is it too late if you stand up and warn Dr. Dobson of the error he's making? Is it too late for him to come back?
It depends on his pride or humility. Depends on that.
We'll keep going.
We're out of time, Doug. God bless you. Maranatha, what a great school in Arvada, Colorado.